how to add years to your life, winning the war against worry. Jesus spoke about worry and anxiety on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read that from Matthew 6:25. You could turn in your Bibles. Matthew 6:25. This is what Jesus says. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Lord, as we look at your word, God, speak to us and change us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we're going to look at on your list is worries list. Jesus listed three things. He listed life. People worry about their life. Another thing he listed was health. Another thing people were worried about was their possessions. And also, we can add our own list of worries that we have. Anybody? A couple things that you worry about? Yeah? Paying for college. Paying for college. Whew, yeah. You're going to college next year? Great. Oh, great. Awesome. Where are you going?
Eastern University.
St. David's? Yeah. Pennsylvania. Yeah, good. Right off Route 30. Yeah, great. Awesome. I'm not really worrying, but I'm in the process on the other side of you paying for college after you got out, so. Yeah, yeah. I'm not worrying about it because, you know, tonight I'm preaching, don't worry. So I can't say I'm worrying about it. You can ask my wife. She thinks I don't worry about anything. But, you know, yeah, that's something. Anybody else? Yeah? Worry about your children, right. Very good. Very good. We can do that. Yes. Gas. Price of gas, right? Yeah. I'm still waiting for the pump that I see on the Chevy commercials that uses corn, you know, and they're like, go green. And, you know, and there's the big corn stalk, and you plug it in. I haven't seen that yet. If you see one, let me know. And then we won't be able to eat corn on the cob ever again, because corn will be $15 an ear. You know, that's how that stuff works. They don't fool anybody. Here's another one I was thinking of, and it's going bald, man. That's one of my worries. It really is sometimes. I've had nightmares where I've woken up, and I'm not saying that for any reason, but I really have, like, whew, all right, so I'm good. Got that off my chest. Another list of things, accidents, right? People worry about accidents. I know people who are afraid to drive and overwhelmed by accidents, you know. I've had about 6, 7, 8 accidents in my life. You can get back in that car and go. It'll be all right. Yeah. Aging. People worry about aging. The weather. People worry about the weather. The stock market, right? That's a legitimate thing. Layoffs. Ooh, that's a hard thing in this day and age, right? Companies downsizing. The bird flu. Right? Mad cow. 3, 4 years ago, my wife and I swore off beef. Mad cow. We said, you know, it's not good for you. That lasted about 2 months, you know? The other day, I had a nice sirloin steak on my grill. It was awesome. AIDS and HIV, that's a worry. You give blood, receive blood, you know. Cancer, heart condition, blood pressure, strokes. Criticism. Ooh. Ever worry about criticism? that somebody's going to say something about you on the job or whatever, that's something you can worry about. Do you feel better now already? Should we close and end in prayer? Let's share our worries. No. Yeah, let's thank you, Jesus, for our worries. But we know you're more than enough. Now, we're going to look down at number two, worry's accomplishments. What does worry accomplish? Scan back over your scripture. Well, let's see what Jesus says. Very good. You guys are all shouting out nothing. Look at the birds. They don't plant, right? And he goes on, your heavenly Father feeds them. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No. The first thing is doubt. Worries accomplish doubt in our life. The rest of God's creation doesn't worry. God provides for them. Will he not do the same for us? Now, this doesn't say we shouldn't work, but only that we shouldn't worry while we work. One of my values is excellence, and we want to do everything we can with what we have. And to me, that's a definition of excellence. We do everything we can for God. Is everything perfect? No. I'm doing it. It's never going to be perfect. But we do everything we can with what we have. And also, I think in regards to work, we do everything we can, and then we leave the rest up to God. Doubt. If you worry, it causes doubt. The next thing is waste. It causes waste. Worry is fruitless. It will not add an inch to your height or an hour to your life. Now, this is serious, okay? I've sat with people who were so worried about getting cancer that they never left their house. To this day, they do not have cancer. But yet, I've known them for 10 years or so, and they just basically shut in their house and they're afraid. That's not the life that God's called us to live. You know? It's just not. That's a lie from the enemy. That is not what God's called you to be. To be afraid to go out. Worry will waste your life. It will not add an inch to your height. It will not add anything to your body. It'll do nothing but destroy you. And not only will it waste your time, and it can waste your life overall if you spend a life in fear and worry, but it can destroy you, and we know this, right, with blood pressure. It can just kill you with ulcers. It'll kill you. We cannot be people who live our lives in worry. Here's an anonymous poem. Someone wrote this, "Worry is a futile thing. It's something like a rocking chair. It will keep you occupied, but it won't get you anywhere." If we worry, it's just like sitting in a rocking chair in your life. I'd rather get in the driver's seat, you know? God's called you to live a life of adventure. Do not let worry waste your life. The third thing, destruction. Verse 32, Jesus said, "These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Worry destroys our physical bodies, but worry destroys our spiritual lives." Those kind of things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. As Christians, I'm not saying all of us in this room are Christians here tonight, but those of us who are, you're destroying your witness by showing your worry in front of people who don't know the Lord yet. Right? Am I right? Because we should have lives where we point to Christ, and it doesn't mean you have it all together, but it means you know the one who does. And complete futile worry, "I don't know what I'm doing," you're destroying your witness. People aren't going to say, "Wow, tell me what you got, man." And look at it this way. Our worst day as a Christian is better. Way better than the worst day without Jesus. Do you know what I mean? As a Christian, you be careful when you throw in the gloves and you talk to people as if you have no hope. Because honestly, you don't remember what having no hope is like. Don't you do that. Because other people look at you and say, "Yeah, I know how you feel." And they really don't. Because your no hope is a lot better than somebody else's no hope. Don't you do that. That's not even what I'm preaching on. But that's good, though. Don't you? Don't you do that. Worry accomplishes doubt, waste, and destruction. And now I want to move on with the good part of this tonight. Worries defeat. We want to add years to your life. You want to win the war against worry. Let's look at worries defeat. The last part of 32, your heavenly Father knows a couple of your needs. Oh, whoa, whoa, what? All your needs. Your heavenly Father knows 90%. Oh, we can trust him. The first thing with your blanks in letter A, trust God fully. Trust God fully. If you want to defeat worry, if God knows all of your needs, can we trust God a little bit? No. Trust God what? Fully. Sometimes this is difficult, right? But tonight, these three things we're going to be looking at are things that we need to force ourselves to do. These are three things we need to bring ourselves back around. No, I'm going to trust God fully. Verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into fire tomorrow, well, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? God cares so much. Trust that the Heavenly Father will provide, just as he promised he would. He will provide for you if you trust him fully. He will provide for you. Letter B. Keep his stuff first. Jesus called us to trust him. And the second thing, after your heavenly Father knows all your needs, trust me, keep his stuff first. Priorities. Keep seeking his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The verse does not say, hang out, talk to God once in a great while, and he's going to give you everything you need, right? Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that. Seek him and live righteously. What does righteously mean? Somebody tell me. Yeah, living in right standing with God, right? We know what that is, don't we? We really do. You don't need an 8-week preaching series on what it means to live righteous. The moment you've gotten saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And he tells you when we're out of line, right? He tells me, that's not right. Change that. We know what it means. Live righteously. Keep his stuff first. I love this. When we take care of his stuff, he takes care of our stuff. That is so true. Isn't that so simple? When we take care of his stuff, he takes care of our stuff. How about when we try to take care of our own stuff first? No. Obviously, the first way we can talk about this is tithing, is giving to the Lord. The Bible says that we're to give God our first 10% and tithe, right? That's their first. And here's the principle in that, and I'm not preaching on tithing tonight, but here's the principle, and you need to get the principle. Tithing is an Old Testament thing. They didn't do it with money. They were farmers. They did it with their crops, and what they did was, as they raised their crops, the first 10% that came out of the ground, and all the rest was still, like, not there yet, they would take that, give it to God, and say, God, now I don't have anything, but I'm trusting you that you will give me more with the 90 than I ever would have had by keeping the 100. And God is always faithful in that. He always was. When it came to sacrificing their animals, it was they gave God what? The best. The best. In fact, if you read the book of Malachi where they talk about tithing, God was mad because he says, you came to me and you gave me your calves that were blind and beat up, and that's what you're giving me? That's your best? And people were wondering why God wasn't blessing them, and they weren't putting him anywhere near first. They were giving God the animals they would have killed anyway. Doesn't make any sense. If we really want to keep God's stuff first, we need to do that. We need to trust him. We need to tithe. God will make the 90% go further than the 100% would have. That's just a kingdom principle. You cannot get around that. He just will. Does it mean you'll have 6 new houses? No, that's dumb. I'm not on TV yet, so I'm not going to say that. No, that doesn't mean you're going to have six new houses. What's it mean? It means he will take care of all your needs. Just what Jesus said. He will give you everything you need. Not want, everything you need, but we can trust him. Last thing, C, live one day at a time. Handle each worry as it comes. Many will never come to pass. Those that do occur can only be handled in the present anyway. Whatever problems you have, you can't deal with them until they're here. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Does that mean we never plan for the future? No, it means we plan, we do all we can with what we have, and we leave the rest in his hands. Worry, to me, adds a lot of emotional baggage to it. It's an emotional connotation. It's not logic. It's not whatever you're planning in the future. Worry is just the emotion surrounding it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. That's a great scripture to hang on to. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for us. I know so many people who have been afraid of things that would not come to pass. Do not worry about what might happen. Chances are that won't happen. Just deal with stuff today. Live life. Do it. Don't allow fear and anxiety and worry, whatever tag you call your emotions, whether you call it fear, whether you call it worry, do not allow that to steal your life. One last scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. In other words, I just shared with you the knowledge of God, right? I just shared with you scripture that came from Christ. That verse is bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I share with you scripture that Jesus said, okay, so next time you're tempted to worry, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take those thoughts of worry, and I want you to make them obedient to Christ. I want you to take those thoughts of worry and say, no, I'm going to trust God fully. Lord, I know I'm feeling anxious, but God, I will trust you with everything that I have. The next thing, I'm going to keep your stuff first. And finally, I'm going to live one day at a time. I'm not going to worry about next week. You can't worry about stuff that's not probably never going to happen. You can't do that. You can pray. You can say, God, help me to plan in case this stuff happens. But I'm not going to have all the emotional baggage attached to it that'll cause me to live a defeated life. God's called each and every one of you to an adventure, to a life of adventure he has. Following God is an adventure. Can you hear it? I can hear the adventure music. Dun, 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 dun. For me, that's Indiana Jones, right? God's called you to live a life of adventure. Do not allow fear to destroy you. That is not what God wants for your life. That is not. He wants to bless you. The worry-free life provides freedom for the Christian. And it's a good example for those who aren't. Worrying does not prove that we're caring people. Worrying only proves that we don't trust God fully. Did you hear that? Worrying doesn't prove that you're caring. Worrying proves that you don't yet trust God fully. You can care, but not be completely absorbed in worry. At some point, we need to let things go and put them in Jesus' hands. A wise man once said, there ain't no use worrying over what you have control over. Because if you have control over it, there's no use worrying about it. Did you hear that? there's no use worrying about something that you have control over. Because if you have control over it, you don't need to worry about it. And look at the other side. There's no use worrying about the things you can't control. Because if you can't control it, why are you going to spend time worrying about it? If you can't control it, you can't change it, right? And if you can control it, then you can just deal with the problem. Worrying has no value. It's not what God's called you to be. Tonight, in closing, if you don't know Christ, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, this thing doesn't, it may sound good to you and you may be thinking, I don't understand that. I want you to know that Jesus wants to come into your life and he can change you. You can have a right relationship with him if you call out and you, A, admit you're a sinner. Jesus, I admit that I've messed up and I'm far from perfect. And B, you believe that he died on the cross and rose again because he defeated death and hell and the grave. Jesus, I believe that you did that. I admit my bad stuff. I believe that you did that. And C, I commit my life to following you and live for you. And if you do that, God will show up in your life. You may be thinking you've done stuff that's too bad. Listen, God, are you kidding? Your sins are not too bad for Jesus to forgive. They never are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your list is. And you want to know why? What you've done wrong isn't the important thing. The important thing is the power of the blood of Christ that can cover all your sins. The moment when we say, you did this, you can't be forgiven, all we've done is taken the power of Jesus' blood and said, you're not as strong anymore, and that's not true. His blood can forgive you of anything, no matter how long it's been. God can work in your life and speak to you. He longs for you. He cries out to hear you. He wants to speak to you and have a real relationship with you. If people have hurt you before, trust God. People fail. People fall. I make mistakes all the time. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Just trust God, though. Trust God. It's all about him. He wants to work in your life. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Be praised, God. Let's close in prayer. We love you, Lord God, tonight. Lord, I thank you that we can cast all of our cares upon you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that it's not just some kind of way of us copping out emotionally from the baggage in this world. But God, by us giving you our worries and trusting you, it pleases you and it points to you with our lives. Thank you, Lord, for working in our lives. We give you praise because you're worthy of all praise. All of you is more than enough for all of us. Thank you for receiving our cares. Thank you for calling us to live a life of adventure. Be with us in Christ's name. Amen.